this morning, carrying on the fourth in our series from the book of Judges since I started this year, okay, because I'm now in church here six times a year preaching. All right, this last one from book of Judges, focusing on the life of Samson, okay, and I titled it as A Distracted Leadership, Samson's Distracted Leadership, unfortunately. Right, so from Judges chapter 13 verses 24, 25, and in chapter 14 verses 1 to 10, all right? And as always in DUMC, we stand to read the Word of God aloud together. Amen? Why do we stand together? All right, very, very important. Now, why do we do this, all right? All right, why do we do this? Whenever Bible verses are projected on the screen, I get everybody to read aloud with me together in DUMC. Okay, why do I do this? Because sometimes it's the only time they read the Bible in a whole week. Amen? Okay, say to your neighbor, he's not talking about you. Okay, because some DUMC people cannot wait to read, dying to read the Bible. Can good amen for that? But there are three important reasons, friends, why I do this. And churches all across the world, when I project Bible verses on the screen, I get everybody to read aloud with me together. Okay? Normally, they don't do that. Normally, only the preacher reads it. I get everybody in every church around the world I preach in to get read it together. Why is it three important reasons? First reason, we are making a public proclamation of the Word of God. Hello? That's so important, isn't it? You and I know, living in Malaysia, we hear five proclamations every day from somewhere. Hello? Why are we not proclaiming the Word of the living God? Isn't it? Very important. Second reason is, friends, we are establishing the truth of God's Word on earth as it is in heaven. Now, God's Word is always true in heaven. Let's establish the truth and authority of God's Word on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Third reason, the Bible tells us, Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. See, when we hear the Word of God aloud, it builds faith in us, isn't it? That's why when we go hospital visitation, we read the Word of God aloud to the person who is sick, to build faith in that person so the person believes God, okay, to bring healing for that person's life. Amen, isn't it? Come, let's read in our strongest, robust Malaysian voices, okay? Starting from Judges 13, all right, onwards. Together, one, two, three, let's go. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahanaim between Zorah and Eshtaol. Samson went down to Timnah and saw a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. His father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, get her for me. She is the right one for me. His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As he approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. Sometime later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. It was in it a swarm of bees and some honey, which he scooped out with his hands and ate as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some, and they too ate it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. Now his father went down to see the woman, and Samson made a feast there, as was customary for bridegrooms. Our Father, we ask, O God, that you, by your Spirit that has inspired this word, take it and speak and challenge us, Father, we pray, and draw us all in response in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Would you take your seats? Now, how many of us men, maybe before our pre-conversion days, before we became a Christian, sitting there in the coffee shop or the restaurant, when a beautiful woman walks into the coffee shop, all of us will lift up our heads and our eyes will follow. And some of us will go like that even. How many of us men, in our pre-conversion days, before we become Christians, we will do that? Can I see your hands? I don't believe so few hands. Looks like the rest of you are Jesus. My friends, Hey, church, you know, you're in church. Not supposed to tell lies, okay? Not to tell lies, all right? Okay, let me ask again, rewind, okay? How many of us men, before our conversion days, before we became Christian, when a pretty woman walks in a coffee shop restaurant, boom, our eyes look and our eyes roll. How many of you? Can I see your hands now? Come on, come on. Okay, now a lot of more honest Christians around here. That's great. But friends, you know, it's okay. It's okay. My hand is also up. It's okay. Perfectly all right, isn't it? Now, how many of us, we still do this nowadays? Now, don't put up your hands. Don't put up your hands. Friends, I call this distraction in life. The problem is not with a woman. The problem is with this man. And all the men say, hey, I'm not convinced. Come on, man. Okay. The problem is not with ladies. The problem is with we men, isn't it? And this is exactly what happens to Samson. So distracted in his life. It is what I call distracted leadership. Now, you and I know leadership is very important, isn't it? Really, really important. Why? Because when it is good leadership, for example, in the home, the family is blessed. The wife and the children is blessed. It's when the man is really excellent leadership in the home. When there is leadership in the community is blessed. When there's leadership in the nation is blessed, and all God's people say, isn't it? And God has been merciful towards our nation on May the 9th. Turn the things around, isn't it? Because giving 5 more years with the previous government, this nation would be completely gone, isn't it? God is really, really merciful. And so, friends, it is critically important for you to recognize leadership is crucial, isn't it? In fact, everyone is a leader. It doesn't mean because I hold no position anywhere, I'm not a leader. That's not true at all. Why is it everyone is a leader? Well, because in the first place, you and I, we have to lead our own lives. Hello, are you there? Some of us are not leading our lives. Some of us allow other people to lead our lives. Some of you allow handphones to lead our lives. One phone call comes, he runs there. One phone call comes, he runs there like this. But friends, we have to lead our lives. And that's why, friends, when we are leading our lives, you and I see our lives will be blessed. But some people, because they're not leading their lives, they're allowing their desires, whims, and fancies to lead them. That's why their lives are not blessed. So at the bottommost, friends, we find we have to lead our own lives. That's why everyone is a leader. But sadly, in the case of Samson, we find that his is a distracted leadership. How is Samson's distracted leadership shown? It is shown in 3 areas. All right, we're going to focus on this morning. What are the 3 areas? Firstly, friends, we see in Samson's life his impulsive ways. What are his impulsive ways? Right, Judges 14, verses 1 to 3. This is what we see, all right, from the Word of God. Come, let's read aloud together again. Come, let's go. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I've seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. His father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives, among our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, get her for me. She is a right one for me. She's insistent. Samson is rash, hasty, impetuous in so many ways. It is my way or no way, isn't it? Reminds me of Frank Sinatra, right? I do it my way, isn't it? And it's sad and it's tragic that you see, friends, in the lives of some people, especially in the case of Samson, very impulsive, very insistent, very rash and hasty in making decisions like this. Friends, you know what? We see that in the life of Samson, there's a consequence when we're impulsive. We see the consequence arising from Samson's impulsiveness, isn't it, like this? And that's the reason why, friends, Judges 15, verses 1 to 6, this is what it says. Let me set the context before we read this passage of Scripture. If after Samson has married this Philistine woman, he gave a riddle to the Philistines. So he said, if anybody can decipher this riddle of mine, I will give you 30 sets of linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. If any one of you can decipher this riddle of mine. So he gave a riddle to the Philistines, and the Philistines were really scratching their heads like crazy, couldn't really find the answer to this riddle. And so therefore they went for the wife, okay, and pressured the wife and said to the wife, if you don't tell us the answer from your husband, we're going to burn you and your father's household. This is exactly what happens if you read on chapter 14 like this. And of course, the wife started pressuring the husband, Samson, like this, isn't it? And eventually Samson gave in. And then the riddle was shared with the wife, who in turn went to tell the Philistines, who in turn went back to Samson and told Samson the answer. Samson was furious. Of course, he went out, therefore, killed 30 Philistines, got hold of the linen garments and the 30 sets of clothes and gave them right to the Philistines. He stormed back to his own father's house instead of living with the wife then, with burning, the Bible says, burning with anger. Here's a man filled with deep rage. Now, this is the context now that we see. Because he was burning deep rage, the father-in-law thought, my goodness, my son no longer loved my daughter and gave the daughter away to someone else. Now, here's the context now. Judges 15, verses 1 to 6, come together, let's read. Later on, at the time of wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat and went to visit his wife. He said, I'm going to my wife's room, but her father would not let him go in. I was so sure you thoroughly hated her, he said, that I gave her to your friend. Isn't her younger sister more attractive? Take her instead. Samson said to them, this time I have a right to get even with the Philistines. I will really harm them. So he went out and caught 300 foxes and tied them tail to tail in pairs. He then fastened a torch to every pair of tails, lit the torches and let the foxes loose in the standing grain of the Philistines. He burnt up the shocks and standing grain, together with the vineyards and olive groves. When the Philistines asked, who did this? They were told, Samson, the Timnite son-in-law, because his wife was given to his friend. So the Philistines went out and burnt her and her father to death. What a tragedy, friends. Isn't it? That his impulsiveness resulted in a consequence, and serious consequence like this. Not to the death of his wife, but to his father-in-law like this. And friends, can I say, in life there will always be consequences whatever we do. In fact, Robert Louis Stevenson says this like this about consequences. Everyone at some time or other sits down to a banquet of consequences. Every person on earth, one day when we sit back, we will reap the consequences whatever we do or don't do. That's the reality of it all. If we do things that are good and say things that are right, we'll be blessed. But on the other hand, friends, if we say things that are wrong, do things that are wrong, we will reap the terrible consequences of those things that we have done wrong like this. Now, Robert Louis Stevenson is well-known Scottish poet, author, and writer, all right, of about 100 years ago. His more famous books are like, for example, Treasure Island and The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. How many of you read those books of his? Can I see your hands? Whoa, a well-read, okay, breed of people here in UMC. God bless you. Okay, he has got another quote, actually. He says, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. All right, many wonderful quotes from this Scottish author and writer like this. And so here he says to us, everyone at some time or other will sit down one day, all right, on the banquet of consequences that we reap either positively or negatively. That's the reality of it all. And that's why, sadly, in the case of Samson, he loses his cool and therefore his head in the process, isn't it? In what way he loses his cool? All right, Judges 15, verses 7 and 8. This is what happens after the wife and the father-in-law were burned to death. How did Samson respond? Together, come, let's read. Samson said to them, since you've acted like this, I won't stop until I get my revenge on you. He attacked them viciously and slaughtered many of them. Then he went down and stayed in the cave in the rock of Etham. Friends, you know, it's kind of tit for tat, and it can go on and on. It just escalates in a sadly tragically like this. We see the life of Samson. And that's why, friends, when we're impulsive, we find that there will always be consequences that will come back to bite us in a process that we and I need to be careful. Okay, like this. What does the Bible tell us? Friends, in a whole year, making sure that we don't lose our cool and therefore our head in the process. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Come, let's read together. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Here is Paul writing to young Timothy. Make sure, my friend, make sure, my son, keep your head in all situations. In other words, be sober-minded, right? Don't be rash, be rational. Keep your cool. Before you respond right away, maybe count up to 10, isn't it? Right? Wunna, runda, muna, nala, anchi, ara, yela, yeta, umutipata. Hold your breath before you respond, isn't it? Which is, I think, so, so important because zoom, any word before the person finishes, we just go in and knock the person off like this, isn't it? And this is what Galatians chapter 5, verses 22, 23 is all about. Come, let's read together. Okay, this passage of scripture together, church. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. See, the Bible here tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit. It does not say, church, it does not say, but the fruits of the Spirit. One fruit that is manifested in nine facets, friends, nine dimensions, as it were. One fruit, many nine. It is not the fruits of the Spirit. Because if it is the fruits of the Spirit, some of us therefore may excuse ourselves. Why? My friend, you are a patient guy, but I have no patience. No, no, no. We are meant to many facets. We may not have it, but friends, it's where we ask God to help us. We ask God to enable us, empower us, can you teach us, guide us, direct us, mold us, break us down if necessary, to slowly build us up in a wonderful manner, isn't it? So this lady could share with Corey and Natalie, right? I thank God that God is teaching me about being patient, being kind, being gentle, be slow in responding, not lose my cool and lose my head and lash out right away like this. But we sadly see these friends in the life of Samson. Things just escalate. It goes from bad to worse, and it goes on and on when we're impulsive in our life. So the first lesson we can learn, friends, from Samson's life is to make sure that we will not be a man or woman who is impulsive, who is rash, who is hasty, impetuous, and very quick in responding, no matter what, like quick draw, boom, right, shoot before you aim, like this, isn't it? God has to guard our hearts, okay, in a wonderful manner. And friends, so this is the first thing. Said in the life of Samson, we find it, the whole thing just go from bad to worse like this. The second thing, friends, you and I can learn from is about his impotent work. Not just his impulsive ways, but his impotent work, all right? That Samson is really crippled in that sense, in the work that he's given to do. See, Samson has been set aside by God to be a judge and a leader of Israel. All right, he's meant to exercise that role and responsibility to judge the people of God and to lead the people of God. But instead, friends, he's caught up with wrong things, caught up with wrong issues. For example here, all right, Judges chapter 16, verses 1 and 4. Come, let's read together. One day, Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the Valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. You can see, friends, Samson obviously got a problem with women. Amen. Every other woman he sees, he's finished. That's all you see, isn't it? All right? And one woman finally finish him off. Who is that woman? Verse 4, Delilah. How many of you watched the movie Samson? Can I see your hands? Okay, those hands, I look around, they're all old people. Why? Because the movie Samson came out, I remember watching as a small little kid, something like 40, 50 years ago. And when Samson came, boy, we are so excited to see this strong man dealing and tackling everyone like this. But every woman he sees is finished. See, friends, Samson has a serious weakness in a whole area relating to the opposite sex. In other words, friends, you know what? He is not recognizing and working on his weakness. His weakness is relating to opposite sex. As I said, every other woman he sees, he falls in love, he wants. Sad and tragic, friends. And sometimes, you know, friends, the world tells us, the world's way is this: project your strength, but cover up your weakness. Show people, show the whole world, show everybody, show your company, show your colleagues, show your boss, show your employees your strength, but cover up your weakness. That's the world's way, friends. What is the Christian way? The Christian way is, yes, we harness our strength. Yes, we use our strength, we maximize our strength. But friends, we don't cover our weakness. We work on our weakness, and that's very, very important. Isn't it? We work on our weakness. We recognize our weakness. And for some of us, maybe we are actually rash. Maybe we go into a rage right away. We just explode. If that is, friends, you know what? You and I need to come before God and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm a very rash person. I'm a person who will just explode in anger, in rage. Lord, forgive me. Help me. Have mercy upon me. I confess this sin of mine. Lord God, help me, deal with me. Friends, the whole thing comes from firstly acknowledging we got a problem. Because if you don't acknowledge, nothing happens after that. Acknowledge we got a problem. Secondly, confessing it. Confessing our wrongs, our sins. All right? Thirdly, repenting from it. Want to turn away from it. All right? And then find, Lord, you help me, you empower. When we come with a posture, with the attitude of wanting change, friends, can I say, this God is more than ready to want to change us, and all God's people say, isn't it? That's what he wants to do for all of us, friends. Why? Because he wants to transform us from the inside out, isn't it? And so we wrestle with this kind of problem. You and I, friends, wrestle with. For some people, it's one of money, isn't it? We don't know how to handle money. We're constantly in debt. We're constantly overspend. And so, friends, can I say, you got a credit card. If you don't pay up the full amount every month, you don't deserve the credit card. Hello, all quiet now. Okay, keep away the credit card. Lock it up. Even if locking up is a problem for you, pass it to me. I'll cut it up for you. Happily. Because why? The credit card interest, if you know what it is, 18% will kill you. It's madness. It's crazy. It's the most foolish things to do, to chalk up credit card debts like this. If you're going to pay the full amount every month, half of it is not enough, three quarters is a full amount, friends, because if you're going to do that, for goodness sake, get out from it. You know what I mean? There's a weakness some of us wrestle with, struggle, and sometimes I find young people wrestle with it like this. In the case of Samson, it's the case of women that he needs to tackle and deal with it. It's because of passion in one's life that we're easily provoked, easily, in that sense, stirred up sexually and wanting for this kind of desires, okay, to be fulfilled in our hearts, in our lives. And that's why it's very important to deal with it. So therefore, friends, how do we relate? How do you respond in our relationship with opposite sex? Let me suggest three areas to help us, okay, as we learn from the life of Samson. How do we respond in our relating with the opposite sex, okay? Firstly, friends, the whole area of drawing boundaries in our relationships. Draw boundaries. Like what? With our pastors, for example, I say to them, you are not permitted to counsel, if you're a male pastor, you're not permitted to counsel a lady in church one-on-one for many sessions. Not permitted to. If you want to do as a male pastor with a lady in church to counsel her, your wife must sit with you every session, not just some of the sessions. That's not good enough for every session. If your wife cannot do it, don't try to be a hero to do it on your own yourself. Because why? You will soon end up a zero. Isn't it? Pass it on to another lady to counsel her. And they're very, very important, all right? Because pastors has fallen in this area, isn't it? Likewise, you and I know, giving lifts, for example, I'm particular as well. Isn't it? Giving lifts to the opposite sex one-on-one, I'm particular as well. Maybe you walk downtown Kuala Lumpur, for example, you drive to work, okay, every day, right, to your wonderful office. And there, lo and behold, you discover a lady who works in the same office with you. And she takes a bus to work every day, Monday to Friday, whereas you drive alone to work. And you discover, right, you both live in the same housing estate. And then you discover she's a Christian. And then you discover more so, she goes to UMC like you. So out of a good, honest, wonderful, sincere heart, like everybody UMC is, you offer her a lift. It may start sincerely. It may not end sincerely. Because after a while, just between two of you, two and fro, each day, Monday to Friday like this, after a while, slowly, slowly, you enjoy each other's conversations. Each other's company. And you carry on like this. After a while, you may call by your wife one day, darling, a lot of work to do this evening. Could you go ahead, have dinner with the children? I will come back late tonight. Carry on, a lot of work. But actually, make plans. 6 o'clock, sharp, at the tennis court. You are there coaching her tennis. Why? Because she wants to learn tennis, and you are somehow a tennis coach. And so what a wonderful, wonderful orchestration from God on high for that kind of occasion to take place. And there you are, she's trying to play tennis like a badminton, okay? All right, and say, no, Debbie Wilkin, no, you don't play tennis. I mean, you lock your arms, so you hold the arms, like that one. Zoom before you realize it. That's it. And you find that there'll be disappearing acts on and off in your life that nobody, not even your wife, could explain. See, friends, one thing could lead to another. Give you a real example, a headmaster with his own family, gave lips to the clerk in his office out of pity for her. Give a lip. That lady became his mistress in the process over time. Friends, can I say this can happen, not just to non-Christians, it can happen to good, wonderful Christians some more. Hello? That's sort of even serving in ministry. I watch that very carefully. If a man serves with a woman together, just the two of them together, on and on and on, I watch that very carefully. Normally, I don't encourage, I try to discourage that. If you want to get other people into serve, because it has happened as well, a married man who served with this lady, all right, on and on, just the two of them together in the ministry, they end up having a sexual relationship and destroyed the man's family on that side. What a tragedy, friends. What a sad witness. We become impotent in a process like this, as we see in the life of Samson, isn't it? And so, friends, it's then to draw boundaries. For example, sometimes we work late into the night in our work, all right, we go for dinner, and the lady colleague also has to work late into the night, and two of you go out for dinner, all right? If you go do this too often, friends, things can happen, oh. Hello? Dinners are normally to be eaten with our wives, and all the wives say, okay. Yeah. Things like this, friends, draw boundaries, isn't it? Because we don't want to be unnecessarily entangled, and everything starts small. It can even start very, very sincerely, but it may not end that way. Draw boundaries, friends. Very, very important. And that's why I like what Dr. Billy Graham does with his organization. Two staff, a male and a female staff, cannot travel together. Not allowed to travel together, whether by plane, by train, by whatever. And that's my emphasis as well. A man and woman, if that person is not your wife or your husband, cannot travel together. All right, draw other people or travel separately. These are boundaries we've got to draw for ourselves, friends, you know, for our own sake and for the Lord's sake and for our family's sake, all God's people's sake. I see. The second right thing is to be transparent, accountable in our ways. Be transparent, be open, all right? And be totally honest and accountable in our ways. Isn't it very important in the things that we do like this? In fact, share with you this incident. Just a few months ago, I was teaching a course on leadership in the Bible College of Malaysia, okay? Monday to Friday from 8:30 to 4:30 or something like this, okay? And then they very kindly arranged lunches for me with the students, which I gladly, and some of the students are very mature students. Some of the students are senior pastors, been in ministry for over 30 years, leading great churches. I say, why are you here attending my course? You should be teaching this course instead of me to know, because we know you're coming, that's why we come for this course. So they arrange kindly for me, which I'm very happy, because I enjoy having lunches with all kinds of people, especially when I have to, don't pay for it. No, not true. Okay. I enjoy spending time with people, really. And nowadays, including enjoy spending time with young people. Why? Because it makes me feel young. Okay, isn't it? And so we have a great time. And then that Wednesday morning, the monitor of the class came up to me and said, Pastor, today you're going to have lunch with your sister. I said, anybody else? She said, nobody else. I have to say to her, could you please arrange for at least one other person to join me? Of course, I didn't want to tell her. Otherwise, no thanks, I will not go. No, I don't say that. Okay, be nicer lah. Okay. So I said, can you arrange for at least one other person? Because I do want to go out for lunch with her. And then my wife Doris gets 20 phone calls from people from DUMC. Doris, are you okay? Is Pastor Daniel okay? I know all of you wonderful, godly, caring people in DUMC is always concerned about how your pastor is doing. And all you people say, thank you. Listen, these are simple things like this. Isn't it? Because why? You don't want, you may be sincere and honest, you may be transparent and open, but you don't want to create unnecessary doubts in people's minds, questions in people's minds, you know what I mean? Now, sometimes I know friends saying this, I know some of you in your work, you have to entertain a client from opposite sex. You may enter, you have to in your work, you have no choice, which I understand, which is quite normal, I think it happens all the time. Friends, can I tell you this? If you have to do this, can I tell you this? Call your spouse, your wife or your husband, let him or her know. Okay, I'm having lunch with so-and-so, all right? So that if your wife gets 100 phone calls from people from DUMC, your wife gets, I know lah, what for you catch up only? No, you're good, wonderful people, isn't it? All right, yeah. So that, friends, it is in that way we build trust, we build integrity, we build openness, we build understanding one another. So that, friends, we move aside all these kind of doubts and questions that will arise in people's minds unnecessarily. Are you there? And so, friends, firstly, draw boundaries in relationships. Secondly, friends, be absolutely open, transparent, and accountable in our life's relationship so that we must live a life such that, friends, there is nothing to hide. Because if there's nothing to hide, then there's nothing to lose, nothing to prove, but there's one more nothing, nothing to fear. See, when there's something to hide, you're always fearful in case you have been discovered. And so you're constantly out to cover your tracks all the time, and looking back as if there's anybody watching. It's crazy. And that's what happened with the previous government, trying to cover the tracks. But you and I know, friends, you cannot cover your tracks forever. Hello, are you there? It is a matter of time, sooner or later, you will be exposed. And then we come down crashing like a pack of cards. What a tragedy, isn't it? What a way to finish life like this, in an absolute mess. Isn't it? No fun at all, isn't it? And so, friends, draw boundaries in our relationship. Secondly, be accountable, be transparent in everything that we do. Third and finally, friends, walk always in the fear of God. Walk always in the fear of God, not in the fear of man, friends. The Bible tells us the fear of man is a snare, it's a trap, it's an enslavement, friends. We should never fear man. We should always fear God. And all God's people say, and that's what 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter tells us, for example, fear God and honor the king. Not fear the king and honor God. It is not like this, friends. We always fear God, but we honor people, isn't it? Very, very important, because why? When we fear God, we're going to do things that will honor him, do things that will glorify his name, do things that will bring pleasure to him, isn't it? And it's so important. When we live like this, we live in real freedom. So sometimes, sadly, we're forgotten. Sometimes we go overseas, then we say to ourselves, no, I can do anything I want because nobody's watching, nobody knows. I'm a stranger here, so I can do anything I want. To me, friends, you know what? That's not smart. In fact, there's been a fool. If you think like that, I'm a foreign land, nobody sees, nobody knows, I can do anything I want. They're forgotten, friends. God sees and God knows. Hello, are you there? And sometimes in the quietness of our bedroom, by ourselves alone, we get onto our computer in the bedroom and we are there clicking in to all kinds of stuff of pornography and that kind of thing, thinking that nobody knows, nobody sees. But friends, it's sad and tragic. God sees, God knows, isn't it? And that's so important. And so when we walk in the fear of God, the fear is not one whereby you cringe and fear, you want to run away from God. The fear of God is one where you run towards him. You want to honor him, worship him, glorify his name, and please him in every way. And all God's people say, isn't it? That's the kind of fear, the right fear. Now, God, of course, knows. Jesus knows that we're very fearful creatures, isn't it? Very, very fearful creatures. All right, why is this a case? We find that time and again, Jesus had to say to his disciples when he was on earth, fear not, fear not, fear not. Hello? Hey, are you and I using the same Bible? Hello? Isn't it? The number of times in the Gospels, Jesus come to say, fear not, fear not. Remember once, what happens? Jesus was in the middle of the night while the disciples were sailing and rowing like crazy, okay, in the boat in the Sea of Galilee. Here was Jesus appearing in the middle of the night on the Sea of Galilee, walking towards them on water. Whoa, how nice. No fare needed to be paid. Okay, walking on water like this. Only Jews can do it. No, not true. Okay. And so what happens when they saw this guy walking on water towards them, the disciples were paddling like crazy, were frightened. My goodness, they thought a ghost, isn't it, coming towards them. You know what? And so the disciples shouted, Hantu. Jesus said, Bukan, Tuhan. Friends, you know, even Jesus spoke Bahasa. It's an amazing, isn't it? All right, it is not Hantu, it is not ghost or demon. It is Tuhan, it is Lord, it is me who is coming towards you. So God knows we're very fearful people. But friends, when we fear him rightly and honestly and properly, the fear of man is removed. You have no fear of man. And that's the way to walk, friends. And that's what you and I need to learn to do, friends. Walk always in the fear of God. Draw boundaries and be always accountable, transparent, responsible for everything that we do. And so friends, you notice that in Samson's life, there is firstly, his impulsive ways. Secondly, his impotent work, because it's not dealing with his weakness in his hold of women. His work has been totally become impotent, totally ineffective as a leader, sadly and tragically like this. And sometimes it can happen to us in an area of weakness. If we don't deal with it, that can cripple us. It could be, for example, financial debts, debts about monies, all this mismanaging our money, that can cripple us and prevent us from living the way we ought to be living in freedom like this. It could be rage. Suddenly we go into rage and anger. That can cripple us. Why? Because people are scared. People keep away from us. Why? Because suddenly we can explode. And that's not the kind of people to hang around with, isn't it? If this is our problem, friends, can I urge and plead with you, deal with it. And the best place to start is start today afterwards. Come out afterwards for prayer. Come out to acknowledge your problem. come up to repent, confess. We're going to pray for you, bring breakthrough in your life and ask God to do a process. It's a process, we know. But let it begin here in this very place, all God's people say. And so, friends, there is impulsive ways. There is, secondly, friends, it's important work. But thirdly, friends, there's a whole area of his imperiled witness. Because of the way he lived his life, he's been imperiled in so many ways. He's been crippled in so many ways. It's jeopardized him, sadly and tragically. Why? Because we read this, let me set a context in John 16, verses 28 to 31. You see, here in this passage of scripture, the context is this. After Samson fell in love with Delilah, the Philistines wanting to find a way to get at Samson because why, he's been so vicious in the way Samson treated the Philistines, and maybe rightly so as well, isn't it? And so they're trying to get back, all right, to Samson to see how to really, you know, nail him down, bind him, and make him useless, as it were. But Samson is so strong. He is, I consider, friends, you know, Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger combined together, you know that? Because, for example, there, okay, in Judges chapter 16, we read, okay, verse 1 there, Samson went to a prostitute, and so the people, Philistines, knew about this, that he has gone to a prostitute, and so they got ready that night, okay, waiting for him in the morning to go for him and to finish him off. But in the middle of the night, if you read on chapter 16 there, after verse 1 onwards, in the middle of the night, Samson got up, and you know what he did? He ripped down the door of the city gate. Together, okay, with the bolts and nuts and everything else, and he put it on his shoulder, and he walked up the hill. You can imagine how heavy is the door, the city gate, massive stuff. Put it on his back and walk up the hill and through the city gate over the hill. Really strong. Now, how many of us, we have climbed Mount Kinabalu before? See your hands. How many of us? Oh, great, fantastic, isn't it? Now, for those of us who climb Mount Kinabalu, like I did Annapurna Base Camp, which I told you, it's 6 days up there. Now, we hand all our whatever stuff, minimal stuff, even minimal stuff we're carrying, we hand it over to the port, am I right? So that we could be free. Right? Some of us run up as quickly as possible, isn't it? We know how hard it is to carry even just our body without our stuff, isn't it? And so we hand our stuff over to these porters who help to carry for us. And you know, some of these porters are women. Like in Mount Annapurna Base Camp, some of them who carry up, actually women who help to carry the staff up. And some of us hand it over and we're trying to race one another, see how fast we can get up. But halfway, you know, some of us young people could not move anymore, squat there, where the pitiful person could not move anymore, no more energy left. And you see this woman porter comes up with your back, zoom, 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 he comes and he looks at you, pitiful soul. She takes her stuff down, your stuff down, and she picks you up, puts you on her back, and she takes you up the hill. By then, friends, can I say, all your male ego all finished. Completely gone, isn't it? Now, how hard it is just to carry our body up, we all know that. And here is Samson carrying this massive wooden solid door up just like that. He is certainly, as I said, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone combined into one. Amazing strength. But friends, what happens is the Philistines want to know the source of his strength and power. They digged it up eventually from Delilah, who digged it up from him, of course. And Samson eventually told her the source of his strength that came from his hair. And when his hair was finally shaved, completely bald, that's when Delilah called for the Philistines to come. And Samson got up and thinking he would do as normal. He'll rip whatever apart. He got up, he discovered. The Bible says in chapter 16, go back and read, the Spirit of God has left him. It is not just a hair that's left, the Spirit of God has left him. And he did not realize that the Spirit of God has left him. What a tragedy, friends, isn't it? To live a life not knowing that the Holy Spirit of God has left our life. Friends, never live a life like this. I pray God have mercy upon me. Help me, guide me, guard my heart. That Lord, I need your Spirit all the time, whatever I do. Help me to keep close to you and not depend on my own strength. Hello, are you there, sinner? Spirit of God has left him. Suddenly he discovers no more strength. He was bound. Not only was he bound, friends in heart, the Philistines gouged out both his eyes. Both the eyes were gouged out. And they put him in prison to be involved in grinding grain in prison after that. Totally imperiled. And what happens is, whilst working in prison, of course, his hair started to grow. And then lo and behold, not long after, the Philistines had a huge, wonderful celebration of a festival that they had. So they gathered in a big auditorium like this, with, you notice in Passage Scripts chapter 16, 3,000 men, women, and children seated there at the rooftop, enjoying the show, entertainment. And they said, let's get Samson to come to entertain us. Samson was brought in. And when he was brought in, blind, okay, led, I believe, by someone with bronze shackles all over the place, and then Samson would quietly whisper to whoever the person may be leading him, can you take me to where the pillars are? Now help me stand where the pillars are. Maybe help me to stand just next to where the main pillars are before I perform. And now, finally, this is the context when Samson stood there at the two main pillars. This is a record now. Let's read together Judges 16, verses 28 to 31. Together, church. Then Samson prayed to the Lord. O sovereign Lord, remember me, O God. Please strengthen me just once more and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Then Samson reached out toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He led Israel 20 years. He led Israel 20 years. Friends, if you read the Bible in the book of Judges, where Samson appears, in this whole book, it talks about many judges and leaders of Israel. Samson, friends, occupies the most number of chapters. Samson takes up 4 chapters. Of all the leaders, he takes up most number of chapters in the book of Judges. But friends, you know what? I urge you to go and read it. What was the most number of chapters he takes up in the book of Judges? All the 4 chapters records nothing but Samson's foolish and nonsensical work. Instead of talking about how great a leader, how he has led Israel well, how he has been spearheading, he's doing this, doing the other, leading and judging Israel rightly and properly, friends, he got caught up with wrong things. Okay. He got totally distracted, absolutely distracted in his response as the leader, so that even for 20 years, friends, there is nothing good to record about Samson's life. What a tragedy, friends. Look back at our own lives. One day when we'll write our own biographies, do we have something to write? I believe we all have something to write. It depends on good or bad luck. Hello, isn't it? I trust we've got something good to write, something good to say. Rather than thinking back, my goodness, for 15 years of my life, I don't know what I did. It is total blank. I can't remember anything. What a tragedy, friends, isn't it, when it happens something like this in our lives? And the Bible is very honest, friends, very frank and honest. It tells us as it is. It tells us about Samson as it is. Sadly, all 4 chapters record one after another of Samson's nonsense in his life. And so, friends, you and I therefore did learn from him, not only his impulsive ways, not his impotent work, but his imperiled witness, that as a result, in the process, what happens, it has short-circuited his work and his mission. It just cut short everything in his life. 20 years, nothing good, but very quickly 20 years just went past like this. And therefore, friends, for you and I, besides women in the case of Samson, he's got a problem. What is his other problem? His problem, vindictiveness. He takes revenge, right? He will take revenge on people, okay? And this is what we read of in 2 instances in Judges 15, verse 7, and Judges 16, verse 28. Come, let's read together. Samson said to them, since you've acted like this, I won't stop until God might revenge on you. And then 16, verse 28, Samson prayed to the Lord, O sovereign Lord, remember me, O God. Please strengthen me just once more and let me one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Revenge, revenge, revenge. Sounds very Jackie Chan. No, sorry, not Jackie Chan. Sounds very kung fu kind. Am I right? And friends, can I say, this is very Chinese. Very, very Chinese, especially you. You offend me, you hurt me, I will bao chou you nicely. I will take revenge on you. And if I cannot bao chou you nicely, I will get all my brothers to take care of you. And even if all my brothers cannot take care, I'll bring all my uncles to take care of you, isn't it? That's what you find in all the kung fu Chinese fighting foods, so sort of always bao chouing one another all the time like this, isn't it? In a Chinese culture, we do not know about forgiveness. We don't know how to let go and forgive. See, friends, when we harbor this vindictive attitude, revenge, friends, can I say, is like an acid. It's like a cancer that can eat us from the inside out. It can kill us from within. Why is this a case? Because when we have a vengeful spirit, when we're always looking for an opportunity to take revenge, what happens? Our mind is always occupied with every move, every action, every word, every thought, always thinking of how I can hit back that person. And so, friends, instead of living wonderfully, instead of living in freedom, in peace, and in joy, we're always looking for one-upsmanship. We're always trying to hit someone else. What a tragedy, friends. Our mind is always occupied with the person we're going to take revenge, we're going to hit out against, so that our mind is no longer being occupied with doing things that are right and good, that will bless me, that will bless everybody around us, isn't it? What a tragedy, friends, to live a life like this. And that's the reason why, friends, you know, Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, let's read together. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. We've been hurt, we've been wounded, we've been offended, upset. Don't hit back, friends, can I say? The Word of God reminds us, leave it to God. Let God vindicate you, isn't it? Trust God, be big-hearted. Have a heart of generosity, it's okay. And move on in life. Because if we seek to hit back that kind of thing, our mind is always preoccupied with wrong stuff altogether, with negative stuff altogether, and so occupied with freedom, peace, and joy. Friends, we are totally crippled in a process like this. Let me close with this. I was preaching once in a church in London, in England. And at the end, I extended an invitation. I was actually preaching a message on forgiveness. So at the end, I extended an invitation. I said, you know, those who like to be prayed for, those who like to extend forgiveness or ask for forgiveness, that you want to let go of the past so that you can move on, and those who like to be prayed for, would you raise up your hands? Several hands went up. And there's a lady right at the back row, I noticed, she put up a hand like this, more like a finger rather than a hand. And I said, those who put up hands, would you please come to the front? We'd like to pray for you. And thank God, you know, friends, the lady who put her finger like this, she came for to be prayed for. And after the prayer, as she was walking out, the senior pastor of the church pulled me aside and said to me, Daniel, you see the lady walking out? I said, yeah. And she told me the full story. So you know that lady, Daniel, she actually grew up in Romania. And as you're growing up in Romania, the father and mother, unfortunately, oftentimes have differences, quarrels, and even fights. And sadly, the marriage will descend into violence. The mother gets beaten up regularly. And therefore, she was in the process violated as well. Then later on, the father divorced the mother. But the mother was no longer in a right frame of mind to take care of the daughter and left the daughter with the husband. The man later on fell in love with another woman and married. But sadly, not long after, the marriage relationship deteriorated as well. Differences, quarrels, fights, violence. You know what happens, friends? That poor little girl grew up in a home like this. She said to herself, one day when I grow up, I will make sure my father gets back what he deserves. I will make sure I will hit back at my father nicely and properly for what he did to mom and now to stepmom. Filled with that hatred, anger, and bitterness all these years, friends, that particular afternoon in a church in London, God ministered to her, touched her, broke through her, and set her free, that she could say, for the first time in my life, I walk up from this place free. Friends, the anger, resentment, hatred, bitterness in her, it was eating her up from the inside. It was literally tearing her apart and destroying her. But friends, so that particular afternoon, God was merciful. When she released and extended forgiveness to the father, God broke through, set her free, and she said, thank God, for the first time, I walk out from this place freed at last, to live the way God has designed me to live. And friends, can I say, that's the way God has designed every one of us to live. Not live in bondage, not living crippled in the process, live in freedom, in peace and in joy. Live with a sense of excitement, enthusiasm, and energy. Live with clear focus and not be distracted like Samson. Live, friends, in doing the things that God has called us to do. So that no time, no energy, no days are wasted at all, isn't it? And what a blessing, what a joy to live, isn't it? So when we look back for someone who's not so young anymore, I know, we look back gratitude and thanksgiving that it's been well used, our years, and we look forward with greater days ahead, trusting that, friends, the best is yet to be and the best is yet to come, isn't it? That's the way, friends, God wants us, you and I, to live. Let us pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, before we pray for as many of you as possible, maybe there's some of us get it here this morning. We do not yet know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In our heart of hearts, we don't have a personal relationship with God in Jesus Christ. If you do not have that, my friend, I want to extend an invitation to you. You're not just here at the invitation of a friend or relative, or maybe you just wandered in. You're here because God wants you to know He loves you. He loves you. You are precious to Him. And He wants to honor you. And the greatest honor that He wants to honor you is to step into your life and make a radical difference. He wants to do that, my friend. He has done it for many people here. He has done it for me 48 years ago almost. He wants to do the same for you. Step into your life and make that wonderful difference. As you open your heart, invite Jesus Christ into your life as Lord and Savior. And when you do that, my friend, I want to assure you, in fact, guarantee you, you're in for the ride of your life. You're in for an amazing ride. Every day is getting better, and the best is yet to come, yet to be, my friend. And so therefore, heads bowed and eyes closed, if you like to, at a count of three, wherever seated, downstairs or up in the gallery, wherever you are, heads bowed and eyes closed, at a count of three, we do raise up a hand. Hi, so I can see your hand. I want to pray for you. Are you ready? At the count of three, wherever we are, downstairs, up in gallery, raise your hands high so that I can see you and pray for you. Are you ready? One, two, and three. Is anyone? Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yes, thank you. Another one. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Downstairs first. I want to pray for you. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Up in the gallery, upstairs. Yes. Yes, over there. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? On my right. Yes, another one. Okay, even a child. God loves little children, my friends. Anybody else? For those whose hands are up, can I lead you in a prayer? You follow after me, sentence by sentence, in a prayer aloud. Church, could you join in as well? Church, join in to pray this prayer aloud to encourage these people. Is it okay? Come, say after me aloud together. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to thank and praise you that you are Lord and you are God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love for me. That I want to say that I'm a sinner. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Take control of my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me your power to live as a Christian, as a child of yours from today onwards. Give me your love, your peace, and your joy, and enable me, Heavenly Father, to live a life with energy, with vision and passion, and not wasting my life away. Help me, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Father, for those who pray this prayer, whether the hands are up or not, you know it all, because you know every one of our hearts, because Heavenly Father, you're an all-knowing God. So for all those who pray this prayer sincerely, whether hands are up or not, you know it, or seal it deep, Holy Spirit, seal it in the hearts of these precious ones and bring this new life and new birth to pass, Father, I pray. And power this, oh God, they'll press on and live for you, honor you, and glorify your name. So bless these precious ones that they will fall up in the life of the church. They will grow in you, build up strong, and be mighty witnesses for you, Father, I pray. So that the lives, like all of us, we pray by your grace, will not be impulsive, will not be impotent, will not be in peril in any way, but will live, oh God, Father, shining for you, fruitful in every way, and more so in the coming years. So bless us all, Father, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I believe, friends, God has spoken to all of us. Some of us wrestle with certain areas of weakness. It may not be women. It may not be money. It may be relationships that sometimes because we're betrayed, we cannot trust people. Because we've been played out, we are always suspicious of people. That is not also a good attitude and posture to have. Would you come with a prayer for you? Some of you, you've been hurt and wounded. It's time to forgive, my friend. Time to let go. Time to move on. Don't waste your energy away, seeking opportunity to hit back. Let go. Hand it over to God. Because God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I will reward you as you adopt a big, generous heart to forgive and to let go and to move on so you will live in freedom, in peace, and because that's the way God has designed us. Live in joy. Live in celebration. Live in festivity all the time. Live with a sense of energy and excitement. And so, friends, would you come? As the worship team leads us in this song, just as many of you, you know there are things in your life sometimes nobody knows. Things you wrestle, struggle with. Maybe pornography. Maybe masturbation. Maybe in a whole area of addiction of different kinds, you will come, friends. Or maybe sometimes fear, unnecessary fears. Maybe for some of us, sleeplessness, could not get to sleep, have a pop in pill after pill to sleep. Maybe it's a whole area of fear, fear of the future, fear of the unknown. Maybe fear of surgery, the sense that maybe one or two of you, your surgery upcoming, you're fearful. Maybe you know that you're not well, but you're fearful to go for a scan, for a checkup. Why? Because in case it is something not so good. Friends, will you come? Surrender your fears to God, your tensions, your struggles, your whatever to God, friends, so that God will break through and set us free so we live in joy, in freedom, in peace. Why? Because this God is absolutely trustworthy. Our life is in good hands. We can trust Him. For good or ill, He is there for us, with us all the time, friends. So come. Let's stand to sing this closing song. As we stand to sing, just as many of you downstairs, upstairs, will you come? Let's, all right, waste no time. So come as quickly as possible. Those who put up their hands, or you're not put up their hands, who have invited Jesus into life as Lord, and say, will you come to the front? Come where I'm standing. Those who put up their hands to accept Jesus, even not put up a hand, you'll pray that prayer, you'll come. Maybe your questions and doubts come up at the end. We want to talk to you, all right, help you along as well. But whatever your challenges, struggles, friends, will you come? Will you just come? Just as many, all right? Fears, struggles, pain, wounds, hurts, friends, a loss of focus, a loss of vision, are distracted in so many ways in your life, in your work, in your leadership, friends, all right? Will you just come? All right, maybe addictions of different forms, tensions and challenges. Maybe you may not have, maybe you know someone who has it. Could you come and stand on behalf of that person? We're going to pray for breakthroughs, friends. So just as many, up in the gallery, you come as well. Come on, staircases on both sides, friends. God is here. He's a good God. He wants us to be set free, friends. Today is a day of liberty, a day of freedom, a day of peace and a joy, friends. So waste no time. Come as quickly as possible. Would you come? Maybe in your family, there's a lot of tension, a lot of strife. Come as well, friends. It just sends a number of you amongst your family members, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunties, maybe your parents or whatever. You're a lot of strife there is there. Would you come? Maybe some of us, I just sense you carry, unfortunately, low self-esteem. You just feel you're not good enough. You feel people look down upon you. Would you come? We're going to pray for healing for you. That's not good as well, friends. So whatever, just as many, friends, just keep on coming. We're going to pray for you that God will bring a break. There's just sense that some of us, we are addicted to food, all right? We struggle with the whole air having self-control over food. Would you come? We want to pray for you, all right? Because gluttony is not something that honors God as well. That's why I'm always against eat all you can restaurants. It is bad, totally unchristian, all right? I think, okay, so we come. Just as many of your friends, would you come? We're going to pray for you. Allow God's grace to break through, God's healing, God's power. Someone's not well, would you come? For he will sing God's amazing miracles and healings here. So will you come? Just as many friends, as you worship him, since waste no time, come right away. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Friends, when things are taken apart, we stand before God, honest, frank. This God is not a God of condemnation, but a God who wants to forgive and restore us. So just come, friends. None of us are too bad. None of us are too bad for God. Neither is any one of us too good for Him. So would you come, just as many come, we're going to pray for you, friends, that God's grace will be here to minister in a wonderful manner. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, just come, friends. Just as many, just keep on coming. And let the grace of God minister to us in a wonderful manner. some of us, we struggle with heart problems, not just a human disease problem, friends. A heart that is wounded, a heart that is hurt, friends, a heart that is broken. Would you come? We're going to pray for you, friends. We pray for Lord's grace as minister in a wonderful man. Let the grace of God be released upon our lives, friends. What a joy, privilege to be prayed for by someone personally, friends, and experience breakthrough. All right, as the worship team leads us another time, friends, just come, just as many of you, just come and receive the grace of God. A good God and a wonderful God. Not a God of condemnation, but a God of restoration. So you come and receive the grace of God, friends, as I close. Shall we just raise our hands up to God? Our Father, we stand in awe, in adoration, in thanksgiving, in gratitude that you've been good and so very good towards us, O God. We adore you, we bless you, we glorify your name. That we are truly, Father, each one of us, trophies of your grace. We bow in worship and in adoration. Thank you for lives you have given to us. Thank you for opportunities. Thank you for loved ones. Thank you, Lord, for this amazing church you've given to us. And thank you for us, oh God, able to visit here, even this place, this morning, whatever it may be. Spirit of God, just release your grace upon each one of us. Thank you, Lord, we can learn and study about the life of Samson, so that our Father, oh God, we will learn precious lessons to apply this in our lives. That you have allowed this to be recorded, our Father, oh God, for our teaching, our training, our instruction, and our correction, so that our lives, oh God, will be lived in such a manner that we will be fruitful in every way indeed. Lord God, for those of us who have been hurt, we will release forgiveness. Oh God, we will just let go. And for those of us, oh God, wrestlers and strong witnesses, whatever, Father, we pray, we'll address it, oh God. We'll not pretend, we'll not cover it, we'll address it, we'll face it head on. We acknowledge it, we'll confess it, we'll repent. We ask, oh God, for empowering by your Spirit, oh God, to have breakthroughs in our lives and to hold ourselves accountable, Father. Accountable to someone who can journey with us, oh God, and see breakthroughs in our lives, Father. Help us going to work, oh God, in areas of our lives that need working so that increasingly, Father, we pray, that we'll grow in Christ-likeness, in godliness, in holiness. We'll set apart for your purpose, for your kingdom, for your glory, so that our lives and the years before us will be well used, oh God. It not be squandered, it not be wasted, it not be distracted in any whatsoever, but well used in focus or leadership and responsibility, Father, I pray. So Lord, bless us all, Father, I ask, oh God, so we'll leave this place with joy, with great thanksgiving, and continue to live for you, honor and glorify your name. Live in real freedom and peace and in joy, Father, I pray. So bless every one of us, Father, I ask, O God. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord may his face shine upon you to be gracious towards you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give his perfect peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We give a clap offering to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.